ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We've gathered together to worship our great and awesome triune God, and as we do, the idea is that we would meditate, consider, ponder the glory of God in the gospel. For some, that we may come to faith in Christ. For others that are already believers in Jesus Christ, it is that we may be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that it would change us and the world that we live in. This is the word of the living God. I'd like you to take your copy of God's word and open it, if you will, to the book of Titus, the letter to Titus, chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Look with me, if you would, at verse 1. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Amen. This is the reading of God's holy word. Let us call upon the Lord and ask Him to bless our time together. Let us do that. Heavenly Father, as we hear the proclamation of Your holy word, Father, I pray that not one of us would remain the same. Lord, that You would transform believers ever into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who may still be in darkness, who may be walking according to the ways of this world, oh Father, we pray the Spirit would open their eyes to see their great need for Jesus, the one who is the perfect law keeper. And so in light of this, Father, we pray You would richly bless our time together and transform us, we pray, in the name of Your glorious Son, Jesus. Amen. The hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be," may be familiar to you. It was penned by Francis Haverdal way back in the 1800s, in 1874. If you've ever seen the hymn, there are many stanzas in that song. It begins, "Take my life, let it be consecrated unto Thee." He goes on to say, take my moments and my days. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my voice. Take my silver and my gold. Take my intellect. Take my will. Take my heart. Take my love. It goes on and on and on. The mindset is the heart would be transformed in that it's full on service unto the Lord. Whatever you would have me do, Lord, take my life and let it be. That is, use me for your glory. In Titus chapter 1, look with me at verse 16. This is how the false teachers were living. The false teachers, it says in Titus 1:16, they professed to know God, but they deny him by their works. It's a staggering statement. You see, they had the right words. They had the right words, but how they lived only produced rotten fruit. Titus 1, look with me if you would at verse 8. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 8. It says, in chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. You see, Paul wanted Titus to insist upon sound doctrine. The sound doctrine of salvation by God's grace alone. That's what he says in Titus 3:8. I want you to insist on these things. It was not according to their works in righteousness, but insisting on this kind of doctrine meant that it was to cause them to be ready for every good work. And so that's how Paul even begins Titus chapter 3. Look with me again at verse 1. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work. This is what God calls us to do. So when you think of the word salvation, that we have been saved, it is a broad term, and depending on the context, it can have a lot of different meanings. The word salvation. The word salvation, I want you to think of it like an umbrella. That underneath the canopy of the umbrella, there are lots of categories. And I could go through all the different theological categories under the umbrella, but I want to highlight three. Three categories under the umbrella. One is justification, sanctification, and glorification. You see, as we have seen even in Titus chapter 3, look with me again at verse 7. He talks about, he says, so that being justified by God's grace, or by his grace, we might become heirs. You see, justification, it's that declarative act of God. It's something God does. He justifies the ungodly. It's something he declares about the ungodly being righteous, but it's by God's grace alone, not your works. It's through faith alone, by God's grace alone, looking to Christ alone. So our works do not fit under the category of justification. You think of the big umbrella, you have justification over here. Our works don't fit under justification. You see, sanctification is that process whereby believers in Jesus are progressively conformed to the image of Jesus. So our works fit under sanctification. The works that we do, they flow out of our lives from a heart of love, having been declared righteous. And when we think of glorification, that is what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes. And when the Lord Jesus comes, he is going to translate these bodies into glorious, resurrected bodies. So look with me again, if you would, at Titus 3:8. He says, in the middle of that verse, he says, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. That we may be careful to devote ourselves to good works. So Christians, having been saved by God's grace, we are to be carefully devoted to doing good works. Paul emphasizes that in Titus many, many, many times. So this idea of careful devotion, the idea expresses that we are to fix our attention on good works. We're to think about, we are to ponder over how to apply yourself and to manage yourself, to care for yourself, and to rule over yourself for the purpose of doing good works. Because of this importance, I think that to ponder over, to think over, what are those good works? I would like us to look at why, the why of the good works. The good works, they are not to make you good enough. Okay, the good works are not to make you good enough to be saved. They are not to even make you savable, but it's the way that fruit comes out of a tree. You see, the root comes first, and then the fruit follows. In the same way that when a person is saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, they will bear fruit. We will bear fruit. We will bear fruit for God. So the good works that we do display, that it highlights to the world that you belong to God. That you have a different master. As we've been going verse by verse through the book of Titus, look with me, if you would, at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to read Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Beloved, do you think about yourself that way? If you've been transferred out of darkness and into the marvelous light, are you zealous for good works? Well, we're going to explore today why believers are to be careful to devote themselves to good works. That's the one thing that we're going to look at today. That's the one thing. If you have a point to write down, put down zealous for good works. When I went through Titus chapter 2 at the very end, I didn't even touch being zealous for good works. And you may have been saying, Pastor didn't say one thing about being zealous for good works, but it's all over the book of Titus. And so today, I want you to be thinking about good works, that you are to be devoted to good works and the reasons why. So the good works glorify God. Our good works magnify and glorify God. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." I can't think of a better illustration. Light and darkness. He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Your good works, not to save yourself, give glory to your Father in heaven. And in that, I just thought of an illustration. It, to me, is powerful. A friend of mine was serving in the Navy. And he was telling me, in the blackest of night, in the middle of the Indian Ocean, all the ships are secretly going to a location and all the lights are off the boats. There are no lights on at all. He said, "You can see the stars." And he said, "I looked across at a boat, like four boats away, far away. And he said, I saw this man's face light up really big, orange, his light, the face lit up, and then it went away." He's like, "What was that?" One of his friends said, "He's smoking. That tiny little light." "Pastor, you can't give an illustration on smoking." "I just did." It lit up the night. That's what light does. That's what you and I are to do. Light up the darkness. Our good works glorify God. The good works also serve others. Your good works serve others. The good works that we do, they are meant to showcase the very love of God. When we serve others, we show them that we love them and that we love God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." Walking properly is this idea of how we live. And how we live, doing good works, it serves others. Let me tell you, if you do that, you are the one that gets the joy. I got a wonderful time this week to go and visit someone out at Brookstone. Maybe you know someone there. This older woman, she's bedridden, essentially. She gets up a few times a week. She probably weighs maybe 80 pounds. I don't know. She has a vice grip, you know, of when you pray with her, she will hold your hand. It's like, she must be a farm girl. I got to talk to her this week for an hour straight about the glories of the world that is to come, about the new creation, about her getting a new creation body in the Lord. And time went by like that. And I thought I was blessing her, but she was blessing me the whole time. Say, Pastor Rob, how can God love us? She kept saying. And I said, He shouldn't. But the Word says, by His grace, by His love, by His mercy, we serve a glorious God. And as you can do the same thing I did. Go visit a brother or sister. Maybe they're in prison. Maybe they're at Brookstone. Maybe they're at Prairie Village. Visit with a saint. Read the Word. And this lady was like, tell me more. Tell me more. Your good works serve others. Not only believers, but those in the world as well. Next, your good works are an example to others. The good works that we do. Look with me at Titus chapter 2, verse 7. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing this young protege, Titus, he says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, even sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Titus was to be a model for the people. He was to come alongside and say, watch me. Do what I do. But isn't it often true in your life that good works that you do are often caught? And it's not like, come watch what I do, but you just observe and you see what they do. And those kind of things are just caught. So we learn by example, even as we watch one another live godly lives. Men, as you see other men loving their wives, honoring their wives, being patient with their wives, or maybe them being patient with you, right? People see that. That is what I want my children to see, because they need to see it modeled by more than just me. And so that's why I pray for you. And I pray that's why you pray for me. That we may model what it means to be like Christ. Well, this has an impact on how we live now. But it also has an impact on the things that are to come. Next, good works display godly behavior as we express the image of God. As God's representative, Christians are called to be like Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. He is our example of how to love, how to forgive, how to be patient, how to speak kindly to one another. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, that is, those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. You see, God has planned it that all of his people will be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so our good works, the good works that we do, point to the image of God. In 1 Peter this morning, as we were going through Sunday school, all we were talking about was good works, good works, good works. And one particular passage talked about looking to Jesus, and in the same way as he is our example, even in his suffering, we too are to follow in his steps. We are to act like Christ. He is our example. Some of these different aspects of good works, there's much overlap from one to the other, to be sure. They're to encourage our hearts. Good works, next, has a sanctifying effect on your life. It produces a holiness in our life as we pursue good works. This is similar to being made in God's image and reflecting the image of God, being conformed to God's image. But as we look to Jesus as our example, we are being conformed to his image. Even in Titus chapter 2, it says that it has this purifying effect on our lives in this present age, in verse 12 of chapter 2. In this present age, it has a purifying effect on our lives. Your good works, to name another, are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you. The Holy Spirit of God who lives in us empowers us unto good works. Philippians chapter 1, I love this verse. It says, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. He's not done with you. If you are in Christ, now yes, we may have all that caution tape over us, right? There's progress and work going on, right? We got the yellow caution tape on. Watch out, there's a lot of work going on right here in my heart. But God is not done with you. He is not done with me. He's still working on us to shape us and to make us into the image of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean work hard that you might be justified. You see that use of salvation there? It's the broad umbrella, and it means your sanctification. We need to have a category for that. He says, I'll read it again. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That is, our works are empowered by the very Holy Spirit of God. He says, he goes on to say, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And back to the cigarette analogy, he says, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The world is corrupt. The world is dark. But beloved, let your light shine through what you do. We even heard this morning that wives, as they live honorably with their husbands and respectfully and are devoted to the Lord, that in their living may even win their husbands to the Lord by their respectable conduct. Your good works matter. Not to save you, but it has an impact on the world. good works also testify to genuine faith. There's real fruit inside. In 1 Timothy 5, it talks about, verse 25, it talks about your works being conspicuous. Use that word this week. That your good works are conspicuous. And the idea is that they're not hidden. They're not private. But it's where everyone's able to see it. It's conspicuous. It's easy to see. Another glorious thing about our good works is that your good works, okay, your godliness produces a reward both in this life and the life to come. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, your good works has a reward both in this life and the life to come. So I want to encourage you all the more, pursue, be zealous for good works. Our good works speak to the glorious age to come. Have you ever thought of that? The good works that you do, they speak about the glorious new creation to come. I want you to see this. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 2. If you would flip over there. 1 Peter chapter 2. And that man was like, I won't tell you what he said. He said, I've never heard someone talk that way about their faith. And he basically was saying, you're crazy. And my friend's like, so be it. But you're not going to get the $200,000 a year job if you talk that way. So be it. May the Lord be praised. So I called him later that day. I said, how did it go? And he said, he said that guy loved it. And I got another interview. So I ask you to pray for him. How many interviews has that man had where he's boasting about Jesus Christ to a dead and dark world where people are saying, you're never getting hired? But they hear the testimony of Jesus Christ. They hear about the glories of the Lord. It may cost you, beloved, to let your works be known before people, to speak about the glories of the age to come. It may cost you. But beloved, we're only here a little while. We're only here a little while. Next, good works testify to us being citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We belong to another and we live for the King. Your good works testify that you're a citizen of heaven. That is, we live for our King and He is our example. And the overlap from earlier, we are walking in His steps. Man, that is what my friend is doing. Praise be to the Lord. He's not a pastor. Next, our good works testify to our faith in Christ. That is, it testifies that we believe. We believe in the Lord. Good works testify to our faith in Christ. Good works also testify to our obedience to God. Good works testify to our obedience to God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It testifies to the world that, yes, we're obeying the Lord, but we love Him. We want to glorify Him. We want to make His name known. And for us to think about being ready for all of those things. So we're not saved by our works, but you're saved unto good works. And I pray you be zealous for good works. Whether you're off at school in another part of the state, or a different state, or in a different country, that your testimony would be that you really believe in Jesus Christ. You really love the Lord. I do want to give you two warnings. There are two warnings I think that must be in place. Number one, that no one is saved or justified before God by your good works. That is, He saved us, Titus says, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but because of His own mercy. Listen to this in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, it says, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in His sight. So no one is justified by their trying to obey the law or do good works. But there is another warning. The second warning comes from Jesus. And He says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. But to do your righteousness or your works in secret. not knowing what your right hand is doing to your left hand, that sort of thing. But lastly, I want to leave you with the most important reason why Christians are to be carefully devoted to good works. Why you're to be zealous for good works. You're to be zealous for good works because they are meant to exalt Christ in the gospel. Your good works exalt Christ in the gospel. So let us be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you, that you may proclaim the glories and the excellencies of Jesus Christ, that you've been saved by God, that you've been forgiven by God, that you've been adopted, that you possess eternal life now, that you're a new creation now. So if you're doing a good deed to your neighbor, a good, honorable work, and they say, why? Why would you do that? Tell them that you serve people because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be the very cows that say, what does that even mean? But if you say, well, I just want to be a good person. Beloved, without testifying to your joy in Christ, or your accountability to God, or the saving work of Christ, how is that honoring God? You mean you could just say, well, I'm a Mormon. I'm supposed to be good. What's the difference? If you have it where you've done a good work to someone, or someone gives you back a lot of money at the store, way too much, and you see and go, oh, I'm not supposed to have this, and give it back, and they're like, no one does that. Why would you do that? Testify about your faith and the truth of the gospel. Use it as an opportunity. The Lord will use your good works for the furthering of the kingdom. Be that light. Shine before others. It may cost you to tell people about Jesus, but maybe let's just define it. What are good works? I hope we've defined it already, but it's works that aim to please God from a heart of love and gratitude, being rooted and grounded by faith alone in Christ alone, to do what's right in the eyes of God. I pray that you would be zealous for good deeds wherever you go. And you thought there were too many stanzas or song and take my life and let it be, huh? You're like, whoo! I'm just getting started. But think of this. I let our very lives be a sacrifice of praise to God. Take my life and let it be. Let you be the song. Be the song that others see, that others hear, that they may glorify our God in heaven. May we speak of Christ. May he be magnified in all of your zeal for good works. Let's do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we draw near to you this morning, Lord, as we hear of your word, as we hear the richness of all of our good works accomplished, Lord, not to save ourselves, but to magnify your name, to glorify you, and to exalt Christ in the gospel. Oh, Lord, I pray that our lights would shine, Lord, that the name and the fame of Christ would resound through the whole world as we sing our song. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.